It's been a bad week for heroes. In a discussion on Friday night with the youth group that I lead at church, many of them picked one of the Harry Potter books as their favourite book. But if J.K. Rowling was your hero for her series of books about a boy wizard that transports you to a magical other world where good triumphs over evil, always, where misfit teenagers find friendship and acceptance and their place in the world. Well, this week, J.K. Rowling found herself at the centre of a row about women's rights and about transphobia, and all the young actors from her film franchise lined up to distance themselves from her views. My dad's hero is Winston Churchill, the inspiring wartime leader. But this week, his statue in Parliament Square, you wouldn't know that was him, would you? His statue in Parliament Square was boarded up to protect it from vandalism. Because it turns out that Churchill also had some pretty nasty racist views. They're both people who've developed a bit of a cult of personality, who've done extraordinary things. And we put them up on a pedestal. We put them up on a plinth, in fact. But when you look a little bit closer, when you scrutinize their lives, you see the flaws. And whether your hero is a civil rights activist or a pioneering nurse or a famous footballer, whatever their extraordinary achievements, if you look closely enough, you will find they have feet of clay. Now, Jesus of Nazareth was really only a local celebrity. And as far as we know, his ministry never took him, you know, more than 100 miles, really, from his birthplace. And he fed the 5,000, whereas J.K. Rowling has about 15 million followers on Twitter. Really only a local celebrity. But in our passage today, we see he's drawing a crowd, a large crowd, gathered around him. Verse 21. And Jesus has been traveling around Galilee, he's teaching and healing, and people are drawn to him. People want to get close to him. And today, one of those people who have come to Jesus is Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders. He's well known locally, he's respected, he's a religious man. But today he's desperate because his daughter is dying. And he throws himself at Jesus' feet and he pleads. Please, Jesus, please come and heal my child. Because of course you would. Wouldn't you do anything? Wouldn't you take any chance if it might save your child? There's nowhere else to go. There's no doctor, no operation, no transplant that is going to save this girl now. And Jesus says, yeah, of course I'll come. When Jairus gets up close to Jesus, he sees that he cares. But Jairus is not the only desperate person who has come to see Jesus today. And among the large crowd pressing around them, hoping to see a miracle, if you look down with me again at verse 25, keep your Bibles open. Look down at verse 25. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. He's another desperate person. She's tried everything. All the NHS doctors have to offer, every private therapist, every grandmother's home remedy. But she's getting worse, not better. And desperate people, people at rock bottom, are drawn to Jesus. Because it's only there, it's only at rock bottom that we realise that everyone else will be found wanting. Everyone else will be found wanting. I don't know if you can see that, if that was back to front or not. Everyone else will be found wanting. All our heroes, our idols, our great men and women with their extraordinary lives and achievements. When you look close enough, you see the flaws. But that is not true of Jesus. Look closer. You won't find a flaw. Look at how he treats people. This woman has been bleeding for 12 years. That means she's ceremonially unclean. She can't go into the temple to worship. She's a social outcast. But when she touches his cloak and is healed, and Jesus finds her in the crowd, and he calls her daughter. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Jesus doesn't treat people like other people treat people. The Gospels are full of times when Jesus loves someone who everyone else has shunned. Jesus is the guy with time to talk to the scantily dressed prostitutes and to white-collar fraudsters and to asbo teenagers. He's the guy kneeling to talk to a homeless person in the street, and from looking at them, you wouldn't think that there was a smell of stale alcohol and damp. Jesus is never caught out. He's never inconsistent. He's never grumpy. He's never snappy. There are no tweets and photos in his past that one day are going to come back to haunt him. Read one of the Gospels and see how Jesus treats people, and you will just want to get closer. Everyone else will be found wanting. But Jesus' life was extraordinary through and through. But right now, as Jesus looks for this lady in the crowd, as Jesus talks to her, right now, Jairus is panicking. Because it's great. It's great that Jesus is healing this woman. Honestly, I'm very happy for her. It's great news. But my daughter is dying. My daughter is dying. Doesn't he get it? Doesn't he get that there's a rush, that this is urgent? He needs to stop faffing. It doesn't matter, does it, who touched your cloak? Please, he has to come now. Please, please, please come now. Come on. And then verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? And you could be forgiven for thinking that Jesus has been found wanting here too. Just another hero with feet of clay. Because what good is a gift of healing if it's in the wrong place at the wrong time? But Jesus doesn't respond like everybody else. There's no regret and recriminations. There's no, well, you didn't tell me how urgent it was. There's no, well, you guys should stop pushing and getting in the way and slowing us down. We'd have got there. There's no blame. There's no embarrassment. No, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Just believe. He's so in control. He has such authority. He has no fear of what others say and think. And so they carry on to the house. They sidestep a rowdy bunch of mourners. And they went in where the child was. Verse 41. Have a look. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. Well, maybe you wouldn't respond with panic either if you had the power to bring dead people back to life. No one else can do what Jesus does. No one else can do what Jesus does. And the Gospels are full of stories of Jesus healing people who have never been able to walk. Or speak, or hear. or multiplying a packed lunch to feed a crowd of thousands, or stopping a storm with just a word. And you can write these events off as ridiculous. Miracles don't happen. I've never seen one. But the Bible never pretends that these are ordinary, everyday occurrences, because people who see Jesus do these things, they disbelieve their eyes. They beg him to leave. They demand he do it again right now to prove himself. Read one of the Gospels, and these miracles Jesus does, you find you just want to get closer, because no one else can do what Jesus does. But I suppose you might ask, what good is that to me? Maybe Jesus did treat people nicely. Maybe he did do miracle healings. But what good is a friendly miracle vending machine in Israel 2,000 years ago to my friend, to my mum, my brother, my wife with cancer right now? Jesus may well be able to empty the wards of St. Helier of all their COVID patients just by popping in, but he's not here to do it. What kind of hero is that? Winston Churchill, you can make a case that the country is free today because of him. And at least J.K. Rowling has left me some good books to read. But you see, I think we find in our passage this morning a little picture of the whole gospel story. The whole story of salvation that Jesus offers us is in this story today. We see that Jesus cares about our pain. We see that Jesus is powerful over suffering. And we see that one day, Jesus will enter death. When Jesus was busy healing this woman, Jairus' daughter died. This world is full of pain and suffering. This woman's pain. But death still happens. But Jesus tells Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. And later, Jesus raises Jairus' little girl from the dead. And that's the same promise to us today in Yule, in Sutton, around the world on Zoom, many years later, that in the pain, Jesus cares. Jesus is in control. And if we believe in him, Jesus will one day raise us from death to life with him forever. So anyone, at any time, in any place, can come to him. Anyone can come to him. Because unlike Winston Churchill, or Martin Luther King Jr., or Nelson Mandela, or Stephen Gerrard, or whoever it was you chose as your hero at the start of this talk, Jesus' extraordinary life is not over. His biography is not finished. His reputation will not be defamed by new discoveries. His offer is forever. He said some outrageous things, but the way he lived compels us to consider him. His life was so extraordinary, we just have to look closer. Everyone else will be found wanting. No one else can do what Jesus does, and anyone can come to him. And Jesus is worthy of a cult of personality. The Bible, Christianity, all of history, it's all about him. He tells Jairus to believe. He instructed his disciples, follow me. If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian today, Jesus' invitation isn't to sign up to a membership organization or to a rule book or to a religious way of life. It's to follow him. Him, a person. You can bring in your troubles. You can come desperate because you've run out of other places to look. You can come as you are. Or if you're a Christian who's tired, who's disenchanted, who's working, it's the same message You're not signatories to a rule book. You're not members of an organization. You're a follower of Jesus. Turn your eyes to him. Because as we look closer at Jesus' extraordinary life, we find we just want to get closer to him. Because as we look closer at Jesus' extraordinary life, we find we just want to get closer to him. As we close. Father God, thank you for your word that is all about Jesus, that tells us what Jesus is like, that he's loving, that he's powerful, that he defeated death, that he is not like anybody else. And Father, I pray this morning that you would stir in us a great hunger to know him more, to look closer, to come closer to Jesus. And I pray that you'd excite us by what we see, and that we would be refreshed, that we would be compelled by seeing you closer up. In Jesus' name, amen.